When Jesus speaks, do we want to refuse him? No, we want to hear him. God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." What did Jesus tell us in John 10:10? He says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly."
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, God's Final Warning, as a study from Hebrews continues. Now, here's Pastor.
Now, the reason that Jesus' blood is so much better is because it speaks this. It is finished. His blood is what's purified our heart, cleansed our conscience. It's provided the way to the Holy of Holies. Amen. It's the precious blood of our Lord. Listen to me. Jesus' blood speaks, or it cries out. The blood of bull and goats, does it cry out? The ashes of the red heifer, does that, you know, cry out? Do the thousands and thousands of sacrificial lambs for the 1,500 years that it existed, do they cry out? No, only Jesus' blood speaks. Thank God we're co-heirs. We have eternal redemption. Amen? Now, the writer did all of that. He gave that contrast of Mount Sinai, the law, Mount Zion, the heavenly city, grace. The old covenant and the new covenant. The Jewish believers, persecution had begun. And man, were they running away? Did they want to go back to even some form of it? I don't know, but I know this. Now we enter into God's final warning. It's the fifth warning, okay? And God is going to tell us here, do not reject. Do not reject the one who speaks from heaven. And you know who speaks from heaven, who this is? This is Jesus who's speaking. Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. And he sat down after he had purged our sins. Amen? Now, with all that being said, let's look at this final warning from God. Verse 25, and he starts, it's very strong. It doesn't look strong just reading it, but he uses the word see, and really it should read, you always be seeing to it. In other words, take care of it. See that you, meaning the Jewish believers, and of course every generation, seeing that you do not what? Say that word one more time. Refuse. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, Jesus, the mediator, the one who intercedes for us, the surety of the new covenant, if you will. And he speaks by his blood. Sins have been taken care of. He's the final sacrifice. So this is the final call from God, the creator to his creatures, if you will. You know what? We have a greater responsibility to God's word than the old covenant people. Did you know that? Because we have the final revelation and they don't, or they didn't rather. Now, here's what I want you to see about this horrible word, refuse, because it literally means this. They're asking to be excused. We want to excuse ourselves, in other words. They're asking that the word not be addressed to them anymore. Don't do that. We refuse. We don't want to, can we be excused from hearing this? We don't want to hear it anymore. But that's a tragic thing. Did you know that? I don't want to hear God's word anymore. I don't want to hear that you love me. I don't want to hear that you can save me. I don't want to hear there's a heaven. I don't want to hear there's a... I don't want to hear it. I refuse. Listen to me. Can you imagine to refuse Jesus for this lousy, brief life that we live? I mean, I don't know about you. This is a lousy life. I mean, the Bible even says that we have been redeemed from this empty life. Empty. It's an empty life. If you don't have Jesus, it is very empty. Amen? We live on a world, loved one, that's not going to last. But heaven will. Now, and I say, oh, how brief this life is to refuse Jesus. Listen to what one expositor of God's word, his name is Newell, wonderful expositor, said. He said, oh, that awful word, refuse. Can it be that the God to whom the nations are nothing more than a drop in the bucket, counted as small dust, can it mean that one of these bits of dust, meaning us, we're just a speck of dust on this planet, another speck of dust, okay? The speck of dust can refuse him? And he says, yeah, it means just that, to refuse God. He says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. When Jesus speaks, do we want to refuse him? No, we want to hear him. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What did Jesus tell us in John 10:10? He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief, he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. He says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they, the children of Israel under the old covenant, if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, remember God's judgment at Mount Sinai when 3,000 people perished and so forth? How much more shall we, the writer includes himself. So the author, the Jewish believers in every generation, he says, how much more shall we not escape, never escape, if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, the city of the living God. So you have the warning on earth, you have the warning on heaven, you have the warning then, you have the warning now. And loved one, listen to me. I love my nation. I love the country that we live in. I love America. You know, it's a great nation. And it used to be greater. You know what I mean? I mean, we used to live in a nation that once believed in God. Did you know that? I lived in that time. That believed in the Word of God. That believed in the Bible. That pledged allegiance. That we had prayer in our schools. We had to stand and pray every morning. And the principal would come on the loudspeaker, this one speaker in the classrooms. And he would pray. And then we'd do the Pledge of Allegiance. Some of you remember that. Yes. Well, we used to do that. And nobody got mad, you know? No one got mad. See, we live in a nation that once believed, but now we live in a post-truth culture. We live in a post-Christian society. We live in a nation that says, in God we trust, yet refuses him who speaks from heaven. Jesus Christ is God's last word and the greatest word. Amen? Listen, God has spoken. In the world that we live in, do you think that the world that we live in, do you really think it cares that God has spoken? Or America, does America really care? Is that on their hearts and minds? Hey, God has spoken. What did the Spirit of Truth say in Hebrews 3:7? Today, that's an urgent word, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't refuse. Don't excuse yourself. Don't say, I don't want to hear God's word. He says, no, don't do that. God has spoken, but the America that we know today needs hearing aids. Do you know that? I mean, and they better turn them up. You know, listen, while our government even continues to pass laws to legalize sin and give sins rights and so forth, let's don't blame them. Because while they do those things, the tolerant church, the church that practices tolerance, the church that allows itself to be conformed to the world, the church that no longer preaches the truth of God's word, meaning the prodigal church that's out someplace in a pig pen, their teaching is anemic and it's watered down and it's non-offensive. It's a non-offensive gospel that saves no one. Jesus said, you shall know the truth even if it hurts. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. No, teaching a gospel that can save no one. And they remove words today. I hear it all the time. Eternal punishment. Well, they wipe that one out. Sin, repent. Oh, no, we don't want to offend anyone. Well, let me tell you something about the true church. I don't know about all churches. I only know one church, and that is the true church. Jesus, you want a word from Jesus? Here it is, Matthew 16:18. I will build my church. I'm not going to build it. I'm a part of it. I will build my church. It belongs to him. He purchased it with his own blood. I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of a government, the gates of every false delusion, never, never will it stand. Only God's church is going to stand. Do you understand? Let me give you another word. How about this one? Matthew 24, 44, Jesus said, therefore, you also be ready. Are you ready? Because he said, you better be ready. Why? Oh, the Son of Man, he said, I'm coming at an hour you do not expect. Amen? He is coming. He is coming. I'm going to say it. I'm going to make some people mad, but it doesn't matter. I love you. I've already preached about it, but I'm going to say it again. Get yourself a Bible, a real Bible with real pages. Keep your app. But when you come here, those are real words. You can feel them. You can hold it. Remember what I told you about Bible apps? You can take your Bible app down to McDonald's and sit down and order a Big Mac. I don't eat there because that's sin. And you can order a Big Mac and you can lay your iPhone with your Bible app on that table. How many people get offended? Nobody. You walk in there and order a Big Mac with your big Bible. And you lay that on the table, and everybody's going to say, oh, we got a holy roller. You know, got to get away from him. Why? It speaks of who you are. All right, I've got off track. Where are we at? Quickly. Oh, time is running out. Verse 26, God's whose voice then shook the earth. Now, that was at Sinai. Remember Exodus 19, 18. But now, meaning since the cross, now that God is speaking through his son, it says he has promised, saying, he's going to quote Haggai 2:6, and he says, he has promised. Does God keep his promises? Okay, look, what did he promise? Well, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but I'm going to shake heaven. Praise God. This is future. This is the great tribulation. This is when the stars are falling from the sky. This is when the half of the moon doesn't shine, the sun, and it's going to be wild. You understand? Let me read Haggai to you. He says, oh, I'm going to shake not only the earth, but the heaven. Let me read Haggai 2:6. He says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more I will violently shake heaven, earth, sea, dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Meaning, you're going to come and see me whether you like it or not. Speaking of Jesus Christ, and he says, and I fill this temple with glory, meaning the rebuilt temple in the kingdom age, okay? And then in verse 9, if you read in Haggai, it says, and I will bring peace upon the earth. Only the Prince of Peace can do that. Now listen, I don't know about you, but there is a shaking that's coming, amen? No, I mean a whole lot of shaking. You remember that great hymnist? There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah? Remember that? That's what's getting ready to happen. And there's only one secure place. There's only one secure place of safety, loved one, and his name is Jesus. There is no other way. Why? Jesus can't be shaken. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Our government, can it be shaken? All the governments of the world are going to fall. All the kingdoms of earth. Listen, it's going to be swallowed up. Oh, and I look, oh, God, you're so good. One day, God is going to make it all new all over again. Let me read here. Look again at verse 27. And now this once more, yet once more, meaning it's going to be final, loved one. This once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, of the things that are made. The things which cannot be shaken, well, may remain. Listen, our universe, this world that we live on right now is under Adam's curse. We're under the curse because of Adam's sin. Amen? But loved one, we've got a brand new world that's coming. Oh, listen, don't trust in this world. Don't seek security in your life from things that are created here. Don't do that. No, the things that are going to be shaken, they're going to be removed. And there's only going to be one thing left. And that's going to be God's stuff. Let me give you the scriptures. Revelation 21:1. John says, oh, wow. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. How would you like to have seen that? Or, you know, when that happens. I saw a new heaven, new earth. Why? Well, the first heaven and the other, they're gone. They've passed away. Listen, it was predicted. The same thing was predicted by Isaiah in Isaiah 65:17. For behold, God says, I create. That means, that's the word bara in Hebrew. It means to create out of nothing. I create a new heaven, new heavens, and a new earth. Jesus promised the same thing in Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Peter proclaimed the same thing in 2 Peter 3:10. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. And the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The works, all that man has died for, fought for, stolen for, murdered for, everything on this planet, all the Rembrandts and all of that Picasso, they're gone. No, there's no escape. None. There is no escape to those who refuse to hear the one who speaks from heaven. That's why we must, all of us, we must build our lives on the rock. Remember what Jesus told us? He told us two things. How about this one? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? And then he tells us in Matthew 7, verse 24, he says this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house or his life upon the rock. The storms of life came. You know the story. And all the winds, the floods, that means the problems of life came. But did that house fall? No, it didn't. But those people who hear his sayings and doesn't do them, he said, you're foolish. And you built your life upon sand. And when these storms come through, man, your house is going to fall. Now, everything that you've heard, look at verse 28. Therefore, going back over from verse 18, all that we've covered. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be what? Shaken. And here's what I want you to see this. Did you see that word are receiving? It doesn't say not will receive. It means are receiving. It's happening right now. In other words, we are receiving a gift, a divine gift from God. What did Jesus tell us in Luke 12:32? He says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give a gift, to give you the kingdom. And look at the kingdom again, a kingdom that can never be shaken, a kingdom that can never be moved, a kingdom that will be forever and ever and ever, where Jesus is the eternal King. And don't miss this. It says we are receiving it. We're receiving it right this minute. Do you know that? We're walking in it right this minute. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:14, for here we don't have a continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Listen, we are receiving his kingdom right now. We're citizens of his kingdom. Amen? We're a small colony of heaven right here upon this planet. What does that tell us? That's revolution, if you believe it. Only you can cause a revolution by believing God's word. If you really want revolution to move into 2024, you have to believe God's word and act upon God's word. We're receiving a kingdom. If you believe that, then you'll believe Matthew 11:12. What did Jesus tell us? He said, from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. But the violent take it by force. Remember what that means? It means that the believer takes the kingdom. They seize the kingdom as a precious gift, as a precious prize. And they say, oh, no. And here's how you do it. What did Jesus, he told us to do something that he never said to seek this anywhere else in the Bible. He said, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Amen. Oh, that's revolution, loved one. Now listen to me. Watch quickly. I know it's time. Just hold on. He says, therefore, since we're receiving this kingdom, it cannot be shaken. What did he say to do? Let us have what? Grace. That means, hey, let's give God thanks. Let's give God a worship for this. In other words, let's don't fall short of the grace of God. Let us give God grace by which, meaning we have to have his grace to do what he's getting ready to say, by which we may serve God. How? Acceptably. In other words, where we're well-pleasing. There's only one way to do that. Two ways, actually. Hebrews 11:6, faith. You can't please him without it. And then it says to serve God acceptably. The only way we can do that is Romans 12:1-2, a living sacrifice unto God, where we're not conformed to the world, transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen? And the whole purpose of it is that we may serve God acceptably. How? With reverence and godly fear. And now the final words, when he says that God's final warning here, he says, don't refuse me. Don't refuse him who speaks from heaven. Why? You have to know who God is, his attribute, his care. He says, for our God. What's the next word? Oh, I thought it says for our God, not was. Does it say not was? No, it says our God is right now a consuming fire. That's the only place in the New Testament you find that. It says in 10:31 of Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, you'll find again, it says, for God is a jealous God. He is a consuming fire. Man, a consuming fire. We don't like that. The church doesn't like that. You say, Bill, come on. Where's the grace? You know, God is love. Yes, he is. And for that, and God so loved the world. Yeah, he sure is. He so loved, he gave his son. Amen? The God of Mount Sinai, the old covenant on earth, and the God of Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, the new covenant in heaven. Are those two different gods? Can God get out of Christ and Christ get out of God? No. No, loved one. Can God change? You can't trust anyone who changes. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord thy God. I do not change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, let me tell you something about God's love. God's love is fire. Remember that movie, Castaway? Fire! You know. And it's not that kind of fire. No, no. God's love is fire. It's a fire that consumes. Someone put it like this. It destroys what it cannot purify, but it purifies what it cannot destroy. God's final warning. Jew, Gentile. Man, listen, is Jesus your Lord? Those listening live here in the chapel. I mean, I know, I don't know your heart. I don't know, but I just know this. You have a choice. See, you're either going to come to Mount Sinai or you're going to come to Mount Zion. That means you have a choice. I'm going to live under the law, or I'm going to live under grace, or there's only two destinies I can have, heaven or hell. Do you understand? You have to choose. Well, listen, God says, don't refuse me. Don't excuse me. Don't say, stop talking to your heart. Some of you, if you don't know Christ, you know what? He's been beating on you and beating on you, and you're going, no, not now. That's the same word. You're refusing him. You're refusing the one who speaks from heaven. He says, don't refuse me. Don't refuse me. Come to me. Jesus said, he who has the Son has life, and he who doesn't have the Son does not have life. Jesus said, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, if you're not born again, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. The greatest thing you can do, don't refuse him, but receive the unshakable Savior. And then you will be part of the unshakable kingdom that will never pass away, and you will be in the city of the living God. But remember, if you want to refuse him, excuse yourself. I don't want to hear it anymore. Remember that God is a consuming fire. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord, to save you. Listen to me. Don't refuse him now. Please, in Jesus' name, I'm begging you. Don't refuse him now. You say, well, Bill, what do I do to be saved? What do I do really? You who lift your hands, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, I'm not refusing Jesus. I'm not refusing you. I don't want Mount Sinai. I want Mount Zion, the city of the living God. I want to see the angels. I want to see just men made perfect. I want heaven to be my home. I want to see Jesus. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, Father, you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. Amen.
Please join us tomorrow as Pastor Bill continues his series in Hebrews. And as always, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. We pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.